Let's see if we have better luck with them tonight.
Yeah.
We just have had like a slew of bad Zoom luck because we had the last time we tried to record this episode, Jenna, it went badly. Like our audio was just trash for the whole thing.
I know. I don't know.
And then we tried to record.
It just wasn't the time.
It wasn't. And then we tried to record the Bachelorette recap.
Oh yeah.
And that one just kicked us off in the middle of our program.
I know. It's like, okay, whatever. We get it. This last one for 2020. All right. We'll take a break then.
It's the universe telling us stop already.
Yeah. Girls, calm down.
You've done too much.
Yeah.
Can we
take a break in life at all?
Are we recording? Are we recording right now? Like, oh, is this going to be like the episode? I guess it should. Clearly we've just,
yeah,
some people get better as far as like professionalism and like starting their show and they have like a thing. And like, we attempted that initially of like having like a shtick where we would like say things a certain way. And now we're just like on the toilet and we'll be like, let's just start recording now. I'm like,
this is fine. This works. It's great.
I'm mid shit. Let's just do it. I've got all this time on my hands. Welcome to our show. This is Jenna and Sarah After Dark.
Ooh, Jenna and Sarah After Dark. I love it.
You're sitting by your fire.
I am.
I'm in bed.
And you look so cozy over there.
I am so cozy. Yeah, for the record, before you get your heads out of the gutters, it's not like I'm in bed.
Oh,
I look like...
Because this is Sarah After Dark.
Yeah, no, it's not that. I'm like sitting on like 7 pillows and I'm like wrapped in blankets and I look elderly.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's wonderful.
So what we're doing for this episode, it's kind of going to be, I guess, like our last one for 2020 of like our main content. And
yes,
because we're almost done with this year.
Isn't that wild? It's crazy.
This is going to be our 25th episode, Jenna.
Is it really?
Yes.
Oh my God. I had no idea.
Time flies when you're not having fun.
I just mean like we've been knocking it out I feel like these last few weeks we have been like crazy people. And so to think we hit 25 episodes, that's a good number to end the year on.
I know. Like that's why like we could have like pushed for like one extra episode in December, and there's just something about ending on 25th.
25.
Although we still have Bachelor content and that's going to end up throwing us off. But
oh shoot. Oh, dang it.
Let's just coast on this high.
Yeah.
So, we decided that for this last one, we've had people that have, you know, since the beginning, you all just keep blowing up our phones constantly. Enough already, people.
Enough already.
It's so hard being famous. But for real, we have had people that have like asked, you know, so who are y'all? Why did y'all decide to do this? Like, how did y'all meet?
Yeah.
And so now we're just going to do some get to know you questions. We're probably actually not going to answer any of the questions of like that we just said.
It's just like Britney Spears when everyone was like asking her all these. She's like, I'm here to answer all the questions you have for me. My favorite color is blue. I love blue. And it's like, no one's asking that, Britney.
We want to know, are you okay?
Yeah. And we're about to pull a Britney Spears.
A lot of you have been asking how we met. So Jenna, what historical era is your favorite?
That's exactly what we're going to do.
These are like, all our questions are going to be really weird and not actually answering like anything, but we like to keep like a shroud of mystery around us.
You have to have it. Honestly, life advice, always keep a little bit of mystery to yourself. Always. Oh, do you see something?
Yeah, I thought my microphone wasn't plugged in, but it is. Oh. We're good. See that whole professional thing. So let's start. Let's start with question. Question A.
Question A.
Yeah.
Is that mine or yours?
Technically, I think it's a both. Oh, it's because of how we're going to handle it.
Yes.
So we're going to start with like a joint question for each other. Joint as in combined, not the marijuana. Although it is Jenna and Sarah After Dark.
So you never know.
For the record, we're not doing anything illegal.
I took my melatonin. It's about
really?
To get real crazy. No, I'm just kidding.
I was about to say, I was like, that could be dangerous.
Yeah, because when I do, I pass out hard.
I have a melatonin toothpaste and it hits me hard sometimes.
Does it really?
It does. Sometimes like I go brush my teeth and then I'm like, why do I feel kind of drunk. It's the toothpaste.
Oh my God, that's actually really funny.
It's pretty special.
First one. In five words. Oh, wait. If you had to describe yourself in five words, what would they be?
Yeah. So this is the one I said, let's do it. Let's make it jazzed up. I think we should each first write down our five words that we would use to describe ourselves. And then before we reveal them, before we reveal our answers of how we see ourselves, then have the other person give five words that like, this is how I describe you. And then see how closely aligned our five words of ourself matches the, you know, how others perceive us.
Oh my God. Shoot. This is going to be great. And I'm scared.
I'm terrified. Well, here's why I'm terrified. Because I feel like I'm going to come off as such an asshole.
I know. That's why I'm like, or
trying to describe
myself.
No one
sees me this way.
I'm like, witty and charming and amazing and perfect and beautiful. Five words.
Five. Right there.
Right there. No, so easy.
And I'm like also trying to be a little strategic right now. Like, okay, what words would Sarah give me?
This is going to take a moment. I think we're, you know what, let's do.
Let's pause it.
Pause it. All right, we're back.
Yeah. This reminds me of those game shows where it's like the engagement game show and you have to like know your partner.
Yes. It's like the newlywed game. Except here's the thing with this. This is more like how emotionally intelligent are we? Because I feel like if we have like if what I give of my list is pretty accurate to your list that you say is how you perceive me, I feel like in some way it's going to show that like, oh, I'm fairly emotionally stable and don't have this like totally out there idea of who I am. Right. And then the rest of the world isn't perceiving that. So
this is the real, are you crazy check right now? We am are find I out psychotic. Together.
Yeah. Okay. Jenna, go ahead and read your list first.
Okay. Is it about me or your words?
I'm going to give you your words first of how I describe you.
Okay. Okay.
And then you read your words of how you described yourself and we'll see if they match.
Okay.
Okay. So I'll actually go first. Oh my Jenna, God. I think you are kind.
Okay.
Wise. Because I think that you're like the person that like people go to bounce ideas. They're like, hey, what should I do? What do you think of the scenario?
1000%.
Strong.
Oh,
I feel like that's not to say that like your kind and soft nature is like weak. It's just like you have this strength, like this like inner strength. This is like a really good exercise of just like, let's build each other up.
I know. I was like, oh my God, these are really nice.
Yours better be known. This nice about me.
They are.
Quick,
they
quick,
are.
Change them.
I don't. You're like, are you sure about them?
Are you sure? Are you sure? Did you say things this nice? Okay. So strong. Yes. You have an inner strength. So your kindness, soft, you know, demeanor is not to be confused with weakness. So kind, wise, strong are the first three. Compassionate is your fourth, which is so you, I think, because I feel like often like in bachelor recaps, I'll point out like, oh, he like, I'll, you know, if a guy reveals something that I would be like, ugh, turn off. Oh my God. So much baggage. And you're like, no, but that's, you know, let's try to figure out where that's coming from. And so there's like this attempt to like be compassionate. And so the fifth one I said, understanding.
Damn. These are really good. And I'm like, I see that in myself, but it makes me feel known that it actually is like, the world sees.
The world does see it. Okay. So wait, what are your five?
So nice. I was a little basic. I said sweet because I feel like everyone says I'm sweet, even though I don't like to hear it, to be honest.
But see, that's what I said. That's what I meant with kind. I tried to be a bit more descriptive because I know sweet kind of can often be like ditzy sweet, but it's like, well, yours is coming from like an inner kindness.
Yes. Thank you. Okay. So I said the basic sweet because I had heard it so much, but okay. And then I put good listener.
Okay. Which is wise. Like that was the thing with wise was like people come to you to like give advice. So you're listening.
Yeah. Cause I almost said empathetic with that. And I said good listener to be basic.
Okay.
Anyways. And I put funny.
I like it. I don't think you're not funny. I just had all these other nice things that were like that I thought at first.
Calming. I've heard I have a calming presence.
You do. You're like a still body of water.
And then I put open-minded.
Understanding. That's what I was like. Yeah, Jenna. Okay. If the list of myself and how you see me don't align, I'm just going to quit. Just rage quit right here.
Okay. Okay. This is how I see you. But although I really could come up with more words for you, Sarah.
Do you know how nervous I am right now? Like,
I know I felt the same.
And why do I automatically assume that it's all going to be bad?
Oh, it's not. It's all great. Oh. The first one, critical thinker. Mm. Right. You like that.
I like some logic.
And then I put intelligent.
Oh, that's so nice.
And then I put thoughtful. And not thoughtful as in detail oriented, although I know you are detail oriented. I mean thoughtful, like it's like a really caring, from a really caring place.
I appreciate that because I feel like people who only know me surface level don't necessarily know that because I come off a certain way. And so the fact that like somebody gets to know me well enough to be like, oh, actually she's like nice.
It's like a lot, like a lot. Like I feel like you're extremely thoughtful, not even just a little bit.
Thank you.
And then quick-witted. I know you said it, but I was like, no, I thought that. So you can't steal the word. And then I put loyal AF.
Oh God. That is so true.
I feel like you really would be. Like you would be loyal. It's like hard to really get into your genuine inner circle, but when you're in it, it's like, all right, here we go.
Basically,
life.
Once somebody gets to the point where they're like, wow, Sarah's thoughtful, then they're now to loyal level.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, here we go.
Once I do a thoughtful thing for you, now I'm like, well, we're in this now.
Yeah.
This friendship thing. Okay. I feel like those are all very accurate. Like I would have said those things of myself if I had done a top 10.
Right.
But my five, because I did five, I went a slightly different direction.
I'm really excited to hear where this went.
Number one, intense.
Yes, that's true. And I love that.
Okay. Number two, I put funny or tries to be.
Well, I put hilarious at first and then I changed it to quick-witted. So we're on the same page.
That's valid. Three, yeah. I put independent.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that's a good one. You are.
But I feel like the next like 3, 4, 5 are kind of like kind of similar. I put 4, confident.
Yeah, totally. You
know, like, not saying that like I feel like I'm hot shit, but more the confidence of like I just walk up and assume that like people want to talk to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if I'm like up at the coffee shop ordering coffee, instead of just like being like, hi, can I get my coffee? Bye. Instead, I'm like, I really like your shirt. Where did you get it? I have one very similar to it. It's like, and I'm not even extroverted. That's the weirder part. Like,
that's actually a really good one. A really good one.
And then 5, I put contrarian.
Oh, shit. Okay. Sarah, that goes with intelligent.
But I'm gonna define what I mean by that specifically, and it's like contrarian matching the definition of a person who takes an opposing view or rejects the majority opinion, just like, ooh, innately, like if somebody says the sky is blue, then I'm gonna be like, are you sure though? Why is everybody just agreeing with that?
Because contrary,
critical think, but critical thinker. Ooh, like I thought that could tie in because that's part of that is me being like, but why does everybody think this way?
1,000%. And I love that thinking. I'm a fan of it.
Thank you. Oh, this was
welcome.
I enjoyed that first question.
I know. We were like, oh, wait, this made us feel so much better than we thought it was going to. And we feel a little like, eh.
All I'm saying is I would like totally date myself right now. Like I'm feeling very...
Like, I feel confident in me.
I'm pumped up.
Good. You should be.
I hope you're pumped up, Jenna, to go into the next question.
I know.
If anybody's even still listening.
Like, yeah. They're like, okay, guys, is this like...
We get it.
Brownies? Girl Scouts? Okay.
No, we're about to now get into the deep stuff.
Yeah, we are. This is going to be... This was good.
Okay. Jenna... Oh. If you're listening right now with your kids, like, don't. So we're going to give you like 10 seconds to...
10's a long time, Sarah.
Well, to just skip in case they can't get to it or something,
or pause.
And their kids like, pause it. Your kids just skip, and then if you come back and listen, you'll know why. But if we were to explain why you have to skip, then it would already ruin the
I'm like, okay. Okay. Okay.
I think you should be skipped by now. Jenna, when did you quit believing in Santa? How old were you? What was the story behind it?
Oh,
I just didn't want to ruin any little kid's Christmas who's like listening. And
at first I was like, dang, what do we need the kids to skip?
And then because I'm so freaking thoughtful. Right.
I know. See, there it is. Oh, okay. So Santa, he was really real to me for a very long time.
Were you 15? You strike me as someone who was like 15.
I could have, honestly, Sarah, I could have gone that long. I was 12.
Oh my, Jenna. Yeah. I got my period at 12.
Oh, I had two before that. So I, my last picture on Santa's lap, I look like a woman. And I'm like, oh, like literally, like, God.
Oh God, did I just start my period on Santa's lap? Oh well, he's in red.
Oh no, God, no!
I cannot believe that you were like a tampon user.
Like it's... I was developed. I
hold on, Mom.
Like
Mom,
curvy.
Mom, hold on. I gotta just let me go change my pad before I go visit Santa.
I know, and I'm like. My little brother knew Santa wasn't real before I did. I would argue with people if they were trying, like, it was so funny. There was like a neighbor who got like a puppy for Christmas. And I was like, oh, well, who do you think got you that puppy? And he's like, my parents. And I'm like, idiot. Like, your parents are going to hide a puppy.
Oh, you know what's really great about believed. This? I did not know this. And I picked this question just as like a throw in, like, well, it's Christmas themed, yeah. But I figured that like we'd discuss beforehand and so when we were discussing the questions we wanted to do, you were like, keep that one. I think you're going to enjoy my answer. Oh my goodness.
And then the only way I found out, I guess I had heard it so many times. I probably got in enough arguments over it too, that I started being like, well, am I wrong? So I went to my mom. I just like looked at her like, Mom, Santa. And then she's like, he's not real. And I was like, so devastated. I loved it. But here's the other thing.
Wait. Were you horrified? Like in that moment, like, did you suddenly have like the realization that like, oh my God, I'm 12 and I've been fighting with my friends over the realness and authenticity and genuineness that is Santa?
I think that I was embarrassed to a degree, but I think I was like hurt, but I think I also was like sad because I was like, I'm gonna miss you, Santa. Because here's the thing, like my mom pulled out all this. He called me every Christmas Eve.
Who was the one behind that? Who was calling?
It was like a uncle, like a far, like a distant uncle, like. We call him an uncle, but it was like a fifth cousin.
What would have happened if your fifth cousin like had died? And then like,
I know.
Would your mom have replaced Santa?
Probably. And she also got Santa on the TV and got called in. And like, he was talking to me and my brother, like through the phone. We're like, hey, Santa, what do we want for Christmas? I mean, she pulled it all out that I literally like, I was invested.
I was
the one who provided the Christmas cheer.
Probably here's the
for
thing.
1,000 children.
It's so much more fun. Like the year that like nobody believes in Santa anymore, like that first year, it's sad. Like there's like a magic of Christmas that's gone because like even when I quit believing, my little brother still believed. And so then it was that still fun of like watching him. And so like then when it was like the first year when like we all knew, like it was all siblings looking
it
at
it changes.
Because my parents would still do in air quotes, Santa, even right. After we quit believing, but like they would have some gifts that they would just like reserve for like Christmas morning that were unwrapped and you'd come down the stairs and see it under the tree. So they didn't quit doing it, but it was just less exciting because So
I know the magic is gone. And so it's like, I can't wait for that like little next generation, like nieces and nephews, my own children one day, like to reintroduce. Cause
right.
I personally, I'm not scarred from it. Like it hurt, but I'm not scarred from the fact that I believed and he wasn't
here's
real.
The deal. I know it's like a really popular thing in parenting right now to be like, we're not going to do Santa. And I'm not at all like I'm not saying that laughing at the parents that choose to do that. Cause I know some of our listeners probably fall into that category. So if you do,
for sure,
more power to you. However, right. For me, I'm like, oh hell no. I'm so into Santa. Jenna straight up once I went on like two dates with a guy and on like the second date, I don't know what God is talking about it, but he was like, I will never, ever allow my children to do Santa because I think that's lying to your kids. And I straight up was like done. And so I later that night, my mom was like, hey, how'd your date go? And I was like, I'm not going out with him again. And she goes, why not? And I was like, he doesn't believe in Santa.
He doesn't believe in the magic of Christmas.
And she like immediately got it. She's like, oh yeah, that's not doable. I was
no.
like, yeah, I plan to do Santa.
Oh, that literally would have violated me completely if a guy said that. I'd be like, we are not going to work. Like, you're talking to the girl who believed in him forever. I would have continued. Bring the check. Yeah. If I went to my mom when I was 12 and I said Santa and she's like, oh yeah, honey, still, he's real.
You'd still be believing right now. This would have been the moment that it came true, came out.
Literally, it would have taken my mother to tell me. That's all it took. Thank God she did.
Okay, guys. So you heard it here first. Jenna got her period before she quit believing in Santa.
Oh my God. I need to find the picture of me sitting in his lap like that old.
Could you find it so we can post it on Instagram?
I'll ask my mom. Honestly, it's hilarious. Like, I am too old sitting on his lap.
Yeah. Cause like I was probably, I don't know, 9. And I think it was just one of those things where like, I quit believing in the tooth fairy. And then once I, like the second that the tooth fairy thing, like it clicked in my head, and then I was like, well, wait, then the Easter bunny is a fraud. And then it was like, wait, it was like everything at once, every magical creature that brought me anything, it suddenly in that moment, it just was like, it was like in the sixth sense when he realizes that he's dead.
Yes.
And every memory comes flooding back and he's like, oh my God, I'm actually dead. That was me. But like, oh my God, it's all a lie.
I kind of wish that I would have clicked with all that, but no, that's not the stuff. To me, I was like, oh yeah, none of those. Of course, none of those, because Santa's the OG. Like, oh
my God. Well, hey, it made for really great content for this episode. Thank you.
I'm glad to provide that entertainment. So sad.
Okay. So our next question, I think it's yours. Bounce it
next
to you.
Next question, yes. So it is... what really gets under your skin, Sarah, and makes you mad?
It's easier. What doesn't get under my skin? If anybody has read or has watched my Instagram stories, then you'll see that like everything is a rant o'clock with me.
Like, that's true. There's a lot of rants, but it's really funny.
Now I got to think of a good one. I mean, okay. The most obvious that just always pops in my mind is slow walkers.
Slow walkers.
Yeah. Like people who are on the sidewalk walking slowly, but then especially those who are walking like three and like side by side by side. So you can't even like merge around them.
So true. That's so true.
Like imagine how you, when you're kind of aggressively driving and there's like a really slow driver that comes and gets in the fast lane. And then you like aggressively kind of like cut around them and you're like, come on, dude, I've done that with walking a lot in my life.
Oh, for sure. Oh, for sure. And you're a fast walker. Like you walk with a purpose. You're like, I'm going somewhere.
It's that intensity.
Like, yeah.
I was probably the slow walker from time to time, to be honest. Like there's moments of that. I try to be purposeful because I'm thinking of all the fast walkers,
but I know there's got to be a time where I was slow. There has to be. I had to have annoyed somebody at some point.
I'm a fast walker, like always. Like I'm always just walking. Like I'm like trying to win a fast walking competition. Yeah.
It's the fast walking with a little attitude.
I think that's what I miss the most right now about 2020 is just not being able to like stomp into like office buildings and like mark my territory.
You're like, here I am.
Like I used to show up in a power suit and high heels with my little luggage because I have to take that with me to work. And I would just like walk into a building just like almost sprinting.
Oh my God, you need it. You
don't
need
have
it.
That. Now I just sit down lazily in sweatpants on Zoom and I'm like muting it as I burp. Jenna, okay, this is a thing. This is a thing that's going off on a quick tangent. But because, all right, so like when I would work in buildings with humans.
Yes.
Like,
what is that? I'm just kidding.
Exactly. I was a very different person. Because now I'm the person that sits there and like on a break, I know that my Zoom is muted. And so I'll like eat something and then like burp because I'm in my house alone. And then the problem is I have audio recorders that like record the proceedings. And sometimes I've left them running accidentally on breaks. And so I have notes. I found a note the other day on one of my jobs, because here's the thing, I have to send my audio to the person that I employ to like scope some of my work for me.
Yeah.
I have to send her that audio. And so the other day before, I had a note that said, cut out the fart on break. Because I was going to send it to her. And I was like, I can't have her sitting there editing. And then all of a sudden I'm like on a break and I like accidentally farted.
Yeah. You're like, please cut that out.
And like the other worst part, like I rarely fart. Like I'm not like really a farty person because I burp. Yeah. And this was like the one time that I like accidentally farted and I was like, what the hell? And it was like, everything was muted on Zoom. And I looked at my recorder and I was like, well, great. The microphone picked that up that I'm sending to my Scopus. It's like 2020
That's
problems.
That's gotta be so entertaining for them.
So my notes, I'm literally going through my notes and it's like, edit out fart. Like she
You're like
say,
this cannot be my new life.
Right. Like that was my note to myself, not yeah. her note to me for the record.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. What aggravates you? What grinds your gears?
What grinds my gears? That's a great question. The only thing right now, for some reason, this is not a plug for the batch content, but honestly, when they run and do the jump hug.
The run and jump.
Oh, it's dun, so dun, annoying.
Dun, dun, dun. Just feel like it's like Chariots of Fire, slow motion, body slam.
I just, it annoys me, but I think it goes into that whole realm of like how girls can be with guys in general. That
feeling like we have to like put on an act to be sweet.
Yes. And,
yeah.
It's really like, it's an act. Like I'm like, girls, like really there's,
but okay, but. Devil's advocate here.
Of course.
Maybe I should try that instead of having a podcast, Sarah, where I talk about how I walk with the speed of an aggressive
Sarah.
I can't imagine. And then talking about accidentally cutting a fart and then having to edit out of the audio. Like maybe if I shared less of these details and was just more like sometimes I just like see a date and I just like run and jump into his arms. Like,
no,
that would work better for me.
Yeah, maybe, but no. But don't sell your soul.
I won't. I promise you'll never catch me doing that. Even if I go on reality TV, I will not stoop to the run and jump. Okay. Jenna, what is a fact I don't know about you?
Okay. This is the one I am embarrassed about, but it's hilarious. You see,
this is the one you're embarrassed about, not the Santa one.
Honestly, I'm more embarrassed about this than Santa because I'm like, I can like put like logic into why I believe in Santa so hard. But yeah, so I did in a very, very small town, so don't even, I did a beauty pageant.
How old were you?
I was 18.
Okay.
And it was so funny. I honestly did it because they were giving like a scholarship away, but the scholarship was like $3,500 or something.
Oh.
Like, it wasn't.
Okay. Okay.
It wasn't much. So, but we had to do the whole thing. A talent, a question.
Jenna, I would do a lot for $3,500.
Oh, obviously I would too. And
what was your talent?
A dance.
Are you a dancer?
I did dance in high school. Yes. Oh, okay. I actually danced most of my life. I'm
see, that's
like,
another fact I don't know about you then.
Yeah, that's true. You're going to find out a lot. So I have to just tell you about why I had it in the bag to win. Okay.
Okay.
I didn't win. I got third because
you slept with one of the judges.
No, it's the question. Okay. The question screwed me over. Uh-oh. The question is, what is the biggest challenge that teens face today? Okay. Number one answer.
I'm picturing the YouTube video right now of them asking why kids can't locate the United States on the map. And have you seen this video of the teen? Oh my God. We're going to post this too. We have so many things from this. We're going to post to our Instagram. It's the funniest thing. She's like, it's viral because she was like, well, because children don't have access to maps because such as the Iraq and
such as
and the Sudan. So what'd you do?
Okay. So number one answer is peer pressure. That girl won. Second place was better than mine because she said weed.
Wait, what? She really said weed?
She said, weed.
Wait.
And a country.
Wait. We are not going, we are not revealing yet your answer. Yeah. I just need to establish. We need to have some build up first.
Yeah.
The answer that beat yours
was
what weed. Problem? What problem do teens face today? And it was weed.
Weed.
I'm
terrified. In what year? This was, you were 18. So
2000, I think it was it was either 2008 or 2009.
I was gonna say 2009.
I think it was 2009.
Right. Okay.
And
you didn't think it was like, I guess social media wasn't quite the thing it was then.
Oh, it wasn't. I think we had MySpace, and I think MySpace was kind of like iffy at that time. I think there was a transition happening. Maybe Facebook was just,
but it wasn't creating. So that wouldn't have been an accurate answer. So it's hard to go back to 2009 and think of what the real issues were that teens faced. But, now knowing that weed was better than your answer, Jenna, what was your answer?
I said, cause I thought, I was like, who suffers from freaking peer pressure? Yeah, right. A lack of work ethic. And I said that it's a lack of work ethic because our parents didn't really show, are enabling us and not really showing us like how to work. And so we don't. And that is causing a lot of problems.
I dissed. So really, you just like dissed every parent in the audience.
Exactly. I dissed every parent in the audience. My parents were like mortified, but also cracking up. My dad was like, that's my daughter. Dissing every person and getting really real in this audience right
now. Y'all are a bunch of lazy mofos. And
1,000.
You aren't teaching your kids to do anything for themselves.
Yes. And it was so funny because one of the judges came up to me afterwards. She's like, Jenna, like, you had it in the bag, but your answer.
I honestly, though, I don't think that's such a, I think that's an amazing answer.
I know. And you know what? I walked off so confident. Like, damn.
Mic drop.
Yeah. Like, that was so real. That was so good. Like, no one thought of that. That was so perfect. And it was like, Jenna, you need to be basic and like just say peer pressure.
This is like literally, like this is the real life version of Miss Congeniality. And she's like, harsher punishment for parole violators.
Yes.
And world peace.
And it's like, I should have said freaking world peace, you know, like if I wanted that money, but I got too real on stage. I couldn't help it.
Wow.
So anyways, that's a fun fact that I don't feel like you knew about me.
Thank you for sharing. I feel like we grew today in our friendship. Do you have photos from you competing with like did you have a sash?
I did, but I have no idea. I don't know if I have a picture.
Okay.
Literally, I kind of think I don't, to be honest.
Yeah, this was that weird time where like we're like in that space of like we didn't have like smartphones to take photos of every moment and stick it online.
I'm already horrible at that to begin with. Like if you see my Instagram, like first of all, I only have like 10 photos, you know, or like 50, you know.
Honestly, you look like a fake, you're like a fake spam account that like is what you look like. The person that's going to go like comment on like Britney Spears posts.
Totally.
With like a spam thing of like, email me if you want to make $4,500 a week.
I know. I suck. Like I suck at social media. I've always been that way. So I don't know if I have it. I don't think I do have it documented. And I'm kind of glad, to be honest.
Well, I'm more invested in seeing the photo of you as a curvaceous womanly woman on Santa's lap, giving him a lap dance. That's essentially what that was.
Oh, that's so bad. Oh my God. I'm going to have to ask my mom. Mom, I need my picture from Santa. Okay, so did you want to answer that question or should we go to the next one?
I mean, mine's short. Yeah. A fact you don't know about me. I am actually, before this podcast and before my like rise to Instagram fame with all 700 of my followers, I was actually really famous when I was like 14.
You were?
I was so famous, Jenna, because I was on the cover of a book.
Shut up.
That got published and was in Borders Bookstore, which is now Barnes & Noble. It's not really, they didn't really switch out to Barnes & Noble, but there's no more Borders Bookstore. No, I'm not joking. Maybe I'll see if I can find it on Amazon because it's not even being sold anymore. it was like really a great book.
Well, what was it?
I'm not going to say the name of it.
This is a tease.
I'm going to show you the picture right now. I was dressed in World War II garb. The book was about like a World War II battlefield nurse.
Oh my God.
And here it is. I've got to lower I'm showing the picture. I know that this isn't exciting for those who are listening, but right now I'm showing the picture to Jenna.
Oh my
God. Of me on the cover of the book. I knew the author somehow, and she
like messaged me on like Facebook and was like, hey, I think you fit like the description of like, I think the, she, in the book, I think that the person was described as being like Italian looking like dark hair. So it's like, I fit the, what she needed for like dark hair look and dark eyes. So,
oh my God.
I'm going to screenshot this and send it to you, Jenna.
Yeah. I love it so much. That
maybe,
is so interesting.
Maybe we'll post it to Instagram.
Yes.
Only if you find the Santa photo. If you find the Santa photo, okay, then we'll share this photo. Like,
okay, fine, because it would be, yeah, yeah.
But then we both
sacrifice
share something,
for us
yes.
both.
Yeah. Okay.
That's so interesting.
Question.
Okay.
Oh yeah, next question is yours.
Yes, next question. If you could instantly become an expert in something, what would it be?
I'm already an expert in everything.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's gonna be hard. for real though, I was up really late the other night in some dark corners of the internet watching video after video of recorder experts.
Recorder experts?
Like, you know, the instrument we learned in third grade to play, like,
my God. Hot cross buns.
Right.
Hot cross buns.
But these people were really talented and they were playing like My Heart Will Go On and
Wow.
Baroque. And there, did you know, Jenna, that there are actually four different types of recorders? There is soprano, alto, tenor, and bass. And also there are plastic recorders and there are also wood recorders.
Ooh, the wood recorder. And I'm interested in that one.
If you want to know what I'm like when I go on a date, it is like this right now.
You're like, hey, did you know that there's four different types of recorders?
Also, one time I had a pet hermit crab as a kid. It was my brother's, and we killed it when we went on the family vacation and forgot to leave it water. Did you like hermit crabs?
And they're like, oh my God, this girl's crazy.
This is me on dates. It's not really the kind of. But yeah, for real, I would love to be able to like master the recorder and have that just be like a skill.
Okay, don't even talk to me right now like you're so, you're like, no, but for real, I would love to master the recorder.
I just think it would be fun because like you can take it to parties. It fits in your
honestly,
pocket.
It's a party trick.
Yeah, I'm used to playing an instrument that like you can't take it anywhere, so it's like you can be like, yeah, like I play piano, I guess, but it's like to be able to just carry a little recorder around, unless you get a bass. Now Jenna, the bass recorders, they are huge. They are like, they kind of look like the size of a saxophone.
Oh my God.
They are
really
big and, they're big and meaty.
Who knew?
Yeah. So the recorder market is, go on YouTube, guys. Look up record, like best recorder player ever. And it's going to rock your world. And I just think it would be a fun skill. Nobody has it. If I ever wanted to compete in a pageant, that'd be a really fun, unique thing. Because everybody
oh,
can like
for sure.
kind of sing. Everybody can kind of play piano. But how many people are like, let me play you Celine Dion's My Heart Will Go On the recorder.
I love it. That is so random. And I learned something. I didn't know there was more recorders than just the little plastic one.
Yeah, no, there's a lot. I actually decided I want a wooden one. Because it has a better, warmer tone to it. I also want to play a quick recorder piece that really inspires me.
Oh,
I don't know if
God.
It's going to pick up on the microphone, but we're going to try it.
I hope so.
That's also my inspiration.
Are you joking? That is so funny. Oh my God.
That was
please.
A joke.
Please. But... No, I love it so much. Oh my God. You have to. Now you have to.
Yeah.
Now you have to.
I want to learn it just to be able to play the Paramount or the 20th
yes.
Century Fox as
it's
a joke.
Perfect. It's yeah. perfect.
So what do you want to be an expert in, Jenna?
Honestly, as you were just saying it, I felt inspired. I was like, okay, I don't really know. And then I was like, oh man, ping pong
yes.
would honestly be set. Like you know, you got the party trick of the recorder. I feel like being a crazy good ping pong player would be a party trick.
Would that also make you good at beer pong?
I don't know.
Like, I mean, you get to make the rule here. If you're an expert in ping pong,
no,
you also
I don't want to. No, I want to be that. I want to be like, people are so weirded out. Like, how are you so amazing at ping pong, but you can't play beer pong?
And you're like, I don't know. It's just a skill. Do they have table tennis at the Olympics?
Did you have to call it table tennis?
Well,
it's not.
Ping pong is.
I know.
If you're going to be an expert, you need to know how to call it by its professional formal name.
I like it as ping pong, Sarah.
Okay, fine. You can. Do they have ping pong at the Olympics? Is it an Olympic sport?
Oh, it should be. If it isn't, I'm pretty positive it is. It gets rowdy in there.
I think it is. I recall table tennis being an Olympic thing, but I need to.
That spin with the little paddle that you have to do. I mean, over and
over.
Oh
my God, Jenna. Table tennis has been in the Summer Olympics since 1988.
Oh, so it's been a while.
It says that China dominates the sport.
China does, yes,
and
they do.
They have gotten like almost every single medal forever since then.
See, that just seems so fun and so like random, and like there's always like table tennis.
Jenna, we don't even have in the top 12 nations that have won table tennis at the Olympics. America's not even in it. So this is your chance to like actually focus. Okay, 2021 vision. Here's our goal. I master the recorder. You go get a sweatband, a sweat armband, and you go get like convert your dining table into a ping pong table.
Yeah.
And I want you to bring table tennis victory to American shores. Okay.
And you know what? You will play as my opener.
When you wait, no, even better. Here it is. Hear me out. Hold on. I have to burp. Did that pick up on the microphone?
No, I Good. Don't. Good. I don't.
I hope
so.
It didn't. I'm not even going to edit it out.
Yeah.
If it did. Jenna. Okay. Hear me out. When you win
Listen
first place, when you win first place at the Olympics.
Yeah.
What happens?
I get presented a medal.
Okay. And then what happens?
And then I celebrate.
Okay. Before you celebrate,
you want an answer that I don't know.
I'm looking for it. Hold on for a second. I've got.
Dun, dun, dun.
No, that's the Olympic song. What happens when you win your medal?
The Olympic song.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, hey, you need to get the mic close to it. You're laughing so hard like it's not even around it.
There we go. I'm gonna play the national anthem on recorder for you.
Yes, that's exactly what I want. This is perfect. Can we make it happen? I love it.
Oh, I wonder if anybody's still listening to this episode by this point.
I wonder if my husband would be proud of me.
Okay, so what's the next question? It is, Jenna, what is a fashion trend a fashion trend that you have lived through that you would like to come back? And then also, what's a fashion trend that's like more historical that you would like to come into your life, come back into being?
This is a tough question for me because I do feel like we've like rotated through a lot of things, but I think I would like to see more plaid.
Like, are we talking like Clueless plaid with like plaid suits that are like matching yellow?
Oh my God, of course. Freaking adorable. Are you kidding me? I love it.
Like plaid patches in jeans.
Plaid pants. Like, I feel like we could do it well. We need to bring it back. We've evolved a lot in like how we like cut these clothes. I think it would look beautiful.
I guess maybe I'm realizing that I've been dressing very outdated because everything I own right now is plaid. So then when you say I want to bring plaid back, I had just like a moment of silence of like,
you're like, oh,
what does that mean for me right now? I've just been wearing lots of plaid and flannel for the last decade.
Yeah, it's that certain plaid. Because I remember I even had like a plaid. I had a pink plaid backpack when I was in elementary school. It was really cute.
Plaid headbands and plaid. Ooh. My mom would put me in little plaid church dresses with like doilies on the collar.
Whoa.
Doilies. Like, you know, like little,
yes,
like, lace.
I know exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And poofy sleeves. And I didn't really like the dresses, but I also was like a really compliant child who would never be like, I kind of hate this, Letitia. So I just like wore it.
But you know what I mean? Cause there's like two different versions of plaid out there.
Yeah. This is like the preppy 90s.
Plaid. Ooh, yeah. I like that. Preppy plaid.
Preppy plaid. Okay. Yeah, what is a historical trend, like fashion wise, that you're like, I'd like to see this today? Any era.
Oh, that's tough. Honestly, pass.
Okay. All right.
I really don't know. Really.
That's how Jenna feels. Nothing. She wants nothing brought back. Okay.
What would you want?
From historical?
Yeah. Both of them.
Start with historical because I feel like that's actually like, I have strong thoughts on that one. I have a lot of eras. I really just live in this place where I'm like pining for the attire of yesteryears instead of just like maybe that's why I dress really outdated. I don't know. I love like 1950s, like I Love Lucy style poofy dresses.
Ooh, I know. I feel like that'd be fun. Like,
that would be so fun to just like get to go grocery shopping in a dress like that. And that's just like your casual wear.
Okay, you're right. I would love to experience
that. They all had like driving bonnets because they were all in convertibles. And so like they put their hair up and like they'd have gloves and like cat eye glasses. Like it's so fun to accessorize.
How cool would that have been, honestly, to live that? Like everyone looked like that for a little bit. Like that's fun. That's cool. Yeah. You're right. That's a good one.
That one. I also love the 20s, like Gatsby, like flapper, like
for sure.
Those dresses. And like now it wouldn't have worked for me with my eyebrows because I've got like a strong brow and they all like plucked theirs out of their head. And it just would have been too much hair removal. Like you can't just wear the flapper dress and keep your unibrow. Like you had to like really commit.
Yeah, that's true. Oh my gosh. Have you seen Marvelous Mrs. Maisel?
Yes.
That's like I love the way they dress in there.
Yeah. So that's like the era too. Of the 60s kind of. And then like, let's go back to the 20s as the flappers. And then I'll just throw in one more. I love that Jane Austen stuff. Like the Pride and Prejudice, like where they would corset them in, because I just think I could like eat more bread and then like be a little bit like voluptuous and like the fat would be like, oh, cool. I got like slightly bigger boobs. And then I just call in like my sister, because I just imagine that if I lived in that era, like there were just like a ton of sisters, because I guess I would actually be like a little woman, like Little Women.
Yeah.
Like,
and I'd be like, a little woman.
Yeah. I'd be like, come tighten my corset. And I'd hold on to the edge of the bed and she'd pull it. And then I would pass out. But my waist would look fierce. And then Mr. Darcy or some really hot, like older man, because that was really acceptable back then. So like, you didn't have to like explain to people like why you were marrying for like money, not love. It was just the thing.
True.
And I just really kind of like that the woman was like, look, I'm going to give him lots of sex and he's going to provide for me. Maybe I should cut this out.
You're like, I am rethinking my decisions right now.
And that's the era I yearn for. What was your question?
Can we bring that back, please?
You're like, Sarah, the question was, what piece of clothing did you like? But okay.
Yeah. But okay, let's bring that back.
I say she's a gold digger.
Yeah.
I'm really not. I genuinely do though love watching those movies. And it's like, they had these like older, hot, sexier guys that were like 35, 40 and mysterious. And it was like, not a problem to
this
be like 20.
This is right up your alley.
So up my alley.
So up your alley. Oh my gosh. I'm like, this all clicks. This all makes sense as you say it.
I think I watched too many of these movies in formative years, and that has defined my poor dating choices.
Okay, so what's your next question?
Oh, my next question. I have it. Hold on. Give me a second. I'm almost there. I know. Please do that to me. Wait, ooh, I wish I could play that on a flute right now.
Oh, that would be
hard. Oh, not my flute, God. The recorder. Get it right.
Honestly, that would have been so funny.
If I had a recorder here.
What is a current idea or trend that frustrates you?
another chance to rant. I know. You're like, oh, this is great.
I'm living for this evening.
Okay, I've got it.
Okay, I'm ready.
I'm just like really sick the trend right now being that like everybody has to just travel to exotic places all the time. I realize that it's not happening as much right now during COVID, but
yeah,
take that aside. Like the fact that like if you don't have a passport, people are like, oh my God, you've never been to Europe.
That's so true. Swine.
Like, it's just annoying. And I guess the thing is, I feel like I see so many people. I really believe that a lot of it is propelled and driven by social media. Because yes. I think that people see other people their age going on all of these like wild exotic trips to like bizarre places, or I shouldn't say bizarre, but like unique places.
Right.
And it's like, what the hell? How do these people have money to go on like two major international trips a year? How do they have the time off from work? Like there's all of these factors. And I feel like it's become a thing of like, everybody's like, I don't like possessions. I just like experiences. And I'm like, what you're saying is you have no money in your savings. That's what you're saying when you say that.
Because so what you're telling me is you're in debt because of these trips.
Right. Like if you've got the money for it, live your life. But if you... Let me think how to say this nicely. If you have ever gone to buy meat at the supermarket and you get the pack of chicken that's $8.99 and then you put it back to get the pack of chicken that's $8.75, you maybe should travel to exotic places a bit less. If you have ever thought to yourself, you know what, you've worked hard, treat yourself, and you buy yourself an appetizer at Chili's,
don't.
Maybe travel less.
Yeah. Don't go to the Cayman Islands
every year. Like maybe that's not in your budget. That's all I'm saying. If you've ever...
Don't go to Greece.
If you've ever stopped pumping gas at $20 because you had to wait to get paid to fill it up to $40.
Don't go on that European...
yeah.
I was supposed to say the European excursion. Don't go to Switzerland. Don't go to the mountains in Switzerland. It's not time.
If you cut your face when you answer your cell phone because the screen has been cracked for 2 years,
oh no.
Maybe it's not the year to go to Denmark.
Yeah.
I could come up with these all day long, Jenna.
I know, that was actually really fun because I was like even trying to think of places.
Basically, I was just thinking of my life.
Yeah. I know, when you said some of those things, I was like, that's actually really funny.
Like, I'm not talking down to people. I'm pulling from real life experience. Jenna, for example, like when the other day I was like, you know what? I've always tried to avoid saving packets of like soy sauce and silverware because I was like, no, I'm not that level of like,
I'm not going to be that.
And then the other day I was like, you know what? This is time. Just embrace the middle class that you are.
I love it so much.
That's my rant on why I feel like people just need to like be content to just like do a staycation.
I agree with you. It's really good. Or trying to not like put it out there like you're lesser than if you're not going on these travels.
Right. Like stop talking down to people and acting as though like they're missing out on some huge life experience. Because I'll be honest, I just still really want to make it to that Bass Pro's Pyramid in Memphis, Tennessee. And like, you shouldn't judge me just because I don't need to go experience like visiting Thailand. Like, I just want to maybe first focus on like some cool national parks in America that I can afford and that aren't going to bust my budget and force me to justify my shitty financial decisions by saying, well, I don't collect things, I collect memories.
Oh my God, that's a really good one.
So that's my rant, and I hope I offended everybody.
Of course you do.
I hope so. Okay, what is the trend or thing that is frustrating you?
This one has frustrated me actually for a really long time. It's the you need to be passionate about whatever you do with a job. I think it's the biggest lie that was ever sold. I think it's really effed people up. There's a lot of people who go to therapy because of this trend. Okay. And it's really sad.
I know that the listeners can't see what I'm doing. I'm sitting here nodding in agreement because
big nods too.
Big nods. I agree with this fully. I think it did become a really screwed up thing where it started with like, get a degree in what you love.
Yeah.
Yes. But then like in society was promulgating that idea. And it's like, yeah, it sounds good on paper, but like when degrees cost a whole lot of paper and you end up graduating with six figures of debt with a degree that's virtually unemployable.
Uh-huh.
Because what you got a degree in something obscure that you love, that's not just an immediate like, well, here's the job you can obviously get. That creates an issue of like, oh, now we have an issue of like underemployment, even though you're overqualified for certain positions, because
1000%.
So that's a thing. And then I think that like we also kind of went through this period with that being the thing of like, oh, well, everybody go to college, where we kind of shat on like technical and trade school, and some of those positions are not things that people are passionate about. I would say what I do for a living falls under the technical trade. I did end up getting a degree after, but I decided to go like reverse the direction I did things.
Yeah.
And that paid off because I was able to like start working, making money, and then pay for the college as I went. And I think it's important that people don't get caught up in like, I must love what I do every single minute of it, because that's exactly. Just setting you up to like be depressed and feel unfulfilled in your life instead of looking at work for what it is, which is work.
Exactly. Like, and that's the other thing that gets me is like, wait, you're talking about an emotion. Like, you should always feel this love and like passion. That's such a strong emotion. You are not going to feel that 24/7. There are the very few people in the world who do. I think A, it's a personality type, or B, like it's just maybe as a way to be inspiring, but it's not normal. It's not the norm, and it's not good for everybody. It's like, you being married, you're not always going to be passionate about your damn husband. You love them, and right. It's a choice. Like, it just makes like emotions be way too, it's like your driving force. And yeah. I don't like that message.
And that's not to say that you have to be miserable, but I think it is that like understanding of like when, like, and I feel like I get that a lot, especially like in dating, where people are like, oh, you just love what you do. And it's like, well, why does that have to be the expectation versus just like, I'm consistent at what I do. I yes. am a loyal, responsible employee. I love my boss. I love the company I'm with. Do the actual physical like act of like the things I do Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. Do I love it?
Yeah. Do you wake up like, oh, I am so glad I'm doing this today.
I definitely look forward to weekends, but like that doesn't negate like the fact that like, I mean, I literally had somebody, she was interning on one of my jobs, and it was a very stressful job. And I was, we had been working from like 9 a.m. They skipped lunch. They skipped dinner. It was 9 p.m. We were still working. I had been given zero breaks, like except for like a 5-minute pee break every couple hours. I was physically exhausted, falling asleep practically. And it was still going late into the night. This little intern was there sitting in, and on a break, she's like, do you just love what you do? And I literally, Jenna, I was like really just in a place.
Yeah.
Emotionally. And I was like, not quite right now.
Yeah.
And she goes, well, then why are you doing this? Oh, like, she was like literally shocked. And I was like,
yeah,
because I like being gainfully employed. And like, this is, it's a killer job. But like, do I love what I'm doing this very moment? Being like physically sore, emotionally exhausted. My stomach won't stop growling loudly, so the whole room is staring and looking at me because I've not eaten all day.
not loving it.
But like, you know what I mean?
Yes, I do know what you mean. And it's just, it like the fact that she was like shocked to hear that you don't love it. That is what I'm talking about. Like, that is this message that people like really firmly believe. And it's really sad because it's messed with a lot of people.
Instead of maybe puts them
in really bad positions.
Encouraging people to like instead like appreciate their job for what it is and like look forward to the moments that you, those days that are the special days where you go,
yes, because they're choices. They're choices. And I love it. My husband actually said this, but he said, out of purpose, which can be different in different seasons, out of purpose, you can find passion.
Yes.
And it's a choice. So I'm like, I like that so much better. That makes a lot more sense than like, let's just be led by this makes me really feel happy. And like, I don't know. It just
virtually nothing in life will, unless you are like an Instagram influencer who travels to exotic places all the time. It's not going to always be this like wondrous sunshine and rainbows out your butt. And I do like that you like also correlated that to just life in general, relationships. Like,
yes,
I
think
instead we should perhaps focus on like other qualities of like within ourselves, like steadfastness, like responsibility, like the things and the qualities that like keep us.
Like when you said consistency, I was like, there's something so beautiful in consistency and really nice.
Yeah. And like, does that mean you can't work towards maybe getting to a point where you own your own business or are doing something? Like that's one thing, but don't quit the thing that gives you stability and consistency in pursuit of the thing that's currently unattainable of just this,
right?
Like to just call passion the thing that you're pursuing. Well, if you can't put a name to what would make you feel passion, like, oh, I want to open this nonprofit for XYZ, until you can actually put a name to it, perhaps stay with what you're doing and continue to like work on that in the background, in the foreground.
Boom. And that's Jenna and Sarah After Dark.
You y'all just are welcome. All the life lessons. Stay in that job you hate.
Yeah, do not quit. You're not a quitter.
Go watch Mike Rowe's Dirty Jobs. And maybe, you know, but for real, everyone go watch that and maybe you'll appreciate your job a lot more. Unless you watch it and you go, oh, but that's what I do. Then
you're like, never mind.
But the thing is, what I loved about that show, Jenna, is that show had people who did jobs that ordinarily people would be like, oh, that's, ooh, I wouldn't want to do that. And so many of these people were fulfilled and happy.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a choice at the end of the day. It's a choice.
Fully agree.
So, yeah. So anyways, that was the thing that I don't like. I don't like that trend / it's really messed with a lot of people and it makes me sad.
Yeah. I think it encourages people to keep trying to like pursue something that's just not really even an actual tangible thing.
Right. 1,000%.
And on that note, guys, we hope we changed your life. We hope you got to know us.
I know. I hope it gives a little taste. Yeah. And if there's more that y'all have questions.
Oh, or if you like want to like, if you want a part two of this, like write in your questions that you think would be good talking points for next one. We just thought this would be a fun way to like end the year, like a little bit, like we've done so many episodes and we've still kind of like not yet actually just like sat and chatted about us. So we just really wanted to like talk about us for an hour. So we hope you loved every minute of it.
Oh, we hope so.
Okay. So we will still be cranking out as much as possible the Bachelorette episodes. Like we're not just going to leave y'all hanging with those. And then we will return with our main content in January, like
in the new year.
First thing. And if you have any 2021 ideas or suggestions for anything,
yes,
let us know. Be on the lookout. We're going to try to find that photo of Jenna sitting on Santa's lap.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
And we hope you have wonderful holidays and stay
happy
safe.
Happy holidays, friends, cult members,
all our
culties, cultists,
cult whores.
Yeah. Cult family.
Cult Lorians.
Yeah. All the things cult.
We've got good things planned for 2021. We're going to bring some guests on and we are going to just keep digging deep into all things weird.
Yes, we are.
Okay. Merry Christmas. Okay. Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho. Good night and Merry Christmas.
And we hope that Santa visits you. Or at least Jenna does.
Yes, I do. He's magical.
Ho, ho, ho. Bye.
Bye.